All right. Well, thank you for having me. I'm excited to teach this morning. My name is Drew Mahaly. This morning we're going to talk about the exclusivity of Christ, why Jesus is the only way. Key verse here in John 14:6, Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And we'll talk about that some more here in a bit. But before we jump in, I've got an activity to get us started. I'm excited about it. I'm not even going to do introductions first. We're going to jump right in. So I've got a little game for us to play to help us get warmed up on this subject. It's called, we got my transitions in there? That might be a problem. All right. Did you guys memorize that? Did anyone have a photographic memory? We'll have to mix this up a little bit, but we'll be all right. Okay, so I've got this grid. You saw it for a second. What we're going to have to do is get from the bottom of the grid to the top of the grid. So the game is called Pathway to Heaven / Lunch. We're going to work together as a whole group, and if we can figure it out, then we all get a free lunch buffet at the cafeteria. That's right. If we can't figure it out, we're going to do fasting and praying for the lunch hour. So let's, Josh, that's cool, right? All right. So we've got a few options to approach this thing. It's going to, bear with me, it's going to be tricky without the transitions there. But number one is going to figure it out yourself. So I need three volunteers to come up on stage and guess some numbers for me. No, you can't just say numbers. You got to come up on stage. All right. One. Kellen, you can't volunteer someone else. Two and three. Come on up. Okay, without giving it away, I'm not going to show you the grid because then you'll have the answers. 1 through 10. You got to guess a number between 1 through 10. If you get it right, you get to guess the next number. Who else? Yeah, Wesley, you can come up. What's your guess?
Seven.
Oh, I forgot to tell you. If you get it right, just for fun, I've got what looks like a real $100 bill here for you. For motion picture use only. All right, what'd you say? Seven? Oh, I knew you were going to guess seven. Nope.
72?
No, between 1 and 10.
Oh, between 1 and 10.
It's close. I'll give you another guess. Nine. Four. All right, that's all right. Stay up. Keep going.
One.
Nope.
Three.
Nope.
Eight.
Nope, not eight. Come on.
Two.
Yes! Give this guy a hand. All right, there's $100. You guys can go have a seat. Okay, that was going to take a while, huh? All right, so I'll give you the first two answers, 2 and 13. So, all right, we're going to try another option two is to listen to advice from someone else. So maybe someone who is a smooth talker or has something that they want to sell you or just has some great ideas. So one more volunteer to come up and do that. All right, come on up. Hey, Brady, if it wouldn't mess it up, I've got my computer with the transitions on if we swap it out, but if not, I'll figure it out. All right, so we've got a smooth-talking guy. I've got a picture, but I'm not going to show it to you. But he's got three answers for you. I'll make you a deal. If you take all three of his answers, then you get those two bags of candy to share with all your friends, okay? Deal. And he's probably going to be better than those other guesses that took that long. So we're at 13. We're trying to get to the top. Okay. So you can go sideways, forward, diagonally. Lose that forever. Can I see it on there? Yeah, let's do that. Okay, but start on slide 3. Thank you. How about a hand for Brady? Yeah. All right, try it out. Okay, we did that. We did that. Oh, who gets two? Yeah, nailed it. 13. All right, this guy. You might recognize him. All right, so he's gonna give you some advice.
Okay.
Choose to take it or not.
I'll probably take it. I choose 22.
22. Oh!
Thank you.
Yeah, all right, all right.
I'm gonna pick
33. 33. Oh! All right, one more. If you take his advice, everyone gets the candy. 44. Oh.
We're disappointed.
Yeah, you get it. You get the candy to share. Follow the instructions. But it looked like, let's wait till after, though, before we start eating it. Man, it looked like Ned had the pattern there, but he went a little too far. We had a little too much confidence in him. So we're going to try one more option. All right, so let's choose. I want you to choose. So we're trying to figure out how to get to heaven, how to get to lunch. This is not working. So four sections I want you guys to pick. Someone in your section that you think is smart or knows numbers or is good at patterns or can help us figure that out. So back right, back left, front right, front left. Pick someone. All right, send them up, send them up. Come on up, come on up. We got four. Four, why are you up here?
Because McLean didn't want to.
Okay, all right. So you think you can help us figure it on that screen, but... What number do you want to pick? You can go up, down, sideways, diagonal.
I start at 34.
Yeah, you're starting at 34.
45.
45. All right, go sit down. Listen, you guys are, good try, good try. You guys are cooked, I think. Go ahead. What's your name?
I'm Jackson.
Jackson. Why did you get voted up here, Jackson?
I don't know.
Okay, all right. This is not working out too well. What do we think?
43.
43? Good try, Jackson. All right. What's your name?
Itai.
We got some confidence here in you.
Yeah.
I think you got this.
Go 25.
25. Good try, though. Good try. Oh, man. All right. Last try.
Hudson.
Hudson. Why'd you get voted up here?
I don't know.
All right. Hudson, what do you got?
44.
44? Did that already get... Oh, yeah. That was Ned's idea. We'll give you another try.
35.
Woo! Okay, no, keep going. You're on a roll. You're almost to the top. 36. 36? Good try. All right. This is not working. Does anyone else think they have the answers?
46.
Vienna, why don't you come up here? Let's give Vienna a hand. All right. I don't know.
Yeah, I have the answers.
Wait, you have the answers?
I have the answers.
Talk to the mic. Where'd you get the answers?
You gave them to me.
Oh. Well, let's see if they're right.
The next one is 46. 37, and 67.
Whoa! Daughter Vienna. And point of the illustration, if you didn't figure it out, is there, it's pretty hard to figure it out unless you know the answers, right? You can go sit down. Thanks. All right, so we'll get into it. A few quick introductions for me. So I've been a Christian for 31 years now, and I guess you can do the math to figure out how old I am now that I know I'm 37. Six years old, I invited Christ into my life. I've been married for 18 years. That's a picture of me hugging my wife, and she's leaning her shoulder. She thinks it looks like I'm karate chopping her head, but it's actually a sweet, sweet picture. 16 years, I've been a dad. Wesley's my oldest there. It's been a journey, and it's been very refining. 15 years working for Comcast, Xfinity, doing marketing there, and then I'm bivocational pastor in Parker with Rich, and then 7 years I've been pastoring. So it's been a lot of fun journeys, a lot of challenging journeys. I'm going to share a little bit of my testimony. But one fun fact, while we're here at University of Wyoming, my collegiate athletic career was actually at the University of Wyoming. So I didn't go here, but I had a good soccer buddy that went here. I was up in Fort Collins. He said, "Hey, we're playing CSU. You want to come to the game?" I said, "That'd be awesome. And we can hang out afterwards." He calls me on the bus on the way up. He's like, "There's a bunch of people that are hungover and not going to make the game. Do you want to play on our team?" So he gave me a jersey and one of the roster names from the University of Wyoming club men's team. And I played a college soccer game against my own school. And we got killed. So go CSU, go Rams. But that was fun. And then here's a picture of my family. So my wife Bobby in the middle. I've got 5 boys, 3 girls. 3 of them are at DTC: Xavier, Wesley, and then you might recognize this girl from saving you from starvation 5 minutes ago. Yes, thank you. That's my daughter, Vienna. So they're a blessing in my life, and they keep me really busy. And like Rich said, I'll probably be here at DTC for the next 20 years or so with all these kids. So looking forward to that. But question for you, how do you know Vienna is my daughter? I said it. Yeah. I told you she was. She told you she was, right? That is true. I think. She's in the photo. Yep. I don't have a good reason to lie about it. I appear to be of sound mind, but that's debatable. I was there when she was conceived. I was there when she was born. I have a witness out for another girl. Or that she's not dating anyone. What we do know for sure, she's a real person, right? You guys all saw her. We knew somehow she had the correct answers to the game. And she was able to predict the future of which boxes were going to be green. Prove it 100% that she is my daughter. We haven't taken a DNA test, but got beautiful curly hair. And mine's kind of dorky, so that's like... But there's a lot of photos and historical evidence and a birth certificate that she is my daughter. But if you're just meeting us for the first time, you could be thinking this is all an elaborate lie. I may have met her yesterday and asked her to join in this activity. I may have photoshopped her into this picture on our vacation. So the best way, I think, for you to understand whether or not she is my daughter would for you to be spending time with us, right, and getting to know us, and maybe spend a week at our house and see how we interact, or interviewing us, understanding our hearts, understanding how we think and we feel about each other, and getting to know us at a deep level. And I think that would give you a pretty good idea of whether or not she is my daughter. But even with all of that, if you saw all that and heard all that, it would still be a step of faith to believe it's true, right, to some degree. So with that, let's jump into the exclusivity of Christ. Jesus is the only way. So I'm going to pray to get started. God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for revealing yourself to us through your son, Jesus. Thank you for the opportunity to share what's on your heart this morning. As we read in Psalms, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. I pray you give us soft hearts to hear you. Pray the seeds will land on good soil. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, so a little bit about my story. I grew up in a Christian home. He has been a blessing in my life, incredibly. But I accepted Christ at a young age, week before my sixth birthday. Like some of the other guys who shared, I had some of the exact same questions, questioning my faith. It's probably inside my own head, maybe a little more than I chose the wrong religion. What if I'm just following this because my parents said it was true? Just as because this is the one I know and was taught, does that mean it's right? What if I end up in hell because I don't figure this out, or because I was lied to, or because I got it wrong? Am I blindly following what I was told was true by my parents? And that's when my journey to have confidence evidence began about 30 years ago. And I knew I needed to have confidence, evidence, and logic to support my faith. And like others, I went on a journey to figure out, God, what is true? What is real? Who are you? Us, including you. So if you're sitting in this room, again, saying, I don't know if I need to worry about it, or I'll figure it out later, there will be a judgment day, and God will ask you to give an account, and you to give an account. And the answer, if the answer is, well, I was part of a church that believed in Jesus, or I was at this camp in 2025 and everyone seemed to agree, so doesn't that count for something? It's not gonna cut it. God wants to hear from you. You're gonna be accountable for what you've done in this life. This is different than the game we just played, right, where everyone gets lunch. This is individual. It's not all or nothing, and we must each have the right answer. So what helped me in this journey? A few things. Biggest one, reading and studying the Bible myself. I was at a conference that at 13 or 14, and I did that. Locking in during these camp times, and I heard from men who were strong in their faith, who had sound reason, and who were filled with the Holy Spirit and knew God's word. Some of those men are sitting in this room here. I think of Steve Nelson and Bill Young and many others. Who just impacted my life as I sat in the seats that you're sitting in, and they shared the truth. I may have even been there when Steve come up with the FACT acronym, but that was huge, walking in there. And then just doing my own study, and so here was a book that I read. I would encourage you, if this subject is interesting to you, take up this book. But a man named Lee Strobel, an investigative journalist and non-believer, sets out to find evidence in the fields of science, philosophy, and history. And he just goes about it like a journalist, investigative journalist, and says, I want to know, I want to figure out the facts. And he goes through the archaeology, and he goes through the historical documents. He goes deep into every single one of the questions that have been talked about here this weekend. It's a book that impacted my life that I read in high school. I would encourage you all to read it as well. But that's scratching the surface of my understanding of God and really the deep truths. But there are some key things that we can know and we can believe and that are critical for us to know. So we're going to talk about today three questions about Jesus. There we go. Randomly works, randomly doesn't. That's good to know. All right, three questions about Jesus, two questions about others, and two questions for you sitting in this room. So that's what you can expect in the next 20 minutes. Quick review. I know we just reviewed, but as what is relevant to this message and what is foundational to what we're going to talk about, and I thought we did a great job covering some of these There we go. We can be confident in and defend our faith from Josh, first night. Steve shared that God exists, created the universe, and has ultimate authority. Steve and Greg both shared that the Bible is reliable, claim the Bible is the true word of God. And then Brian, Bible. So we're going to, again, if you want to go back and go deeper in some of those, I'm going to start with assuming we're all on board and locked in with those, and then talk through what it means in our walk with Jesus. So three questions about Jesus. I think these are important ones for us to answer. There's obviously a lot more of them. But number one, was he a real person? Number two, did he say he was the only way to heaven? And number three, how do we know he was telling the truth? So there's actually not too much debate here. Greg talked about a few people here yesterday. Here's Tacitus. So he's a famous Roman historian, one of the most records that really support the claims of Jesus. But he was not a believer. He was not sympathetic towards Christians. He was actually talking about how what a pest they were and what a problem they were. But his record, he confirmed some facts that were in the Bible. Jesus was the founder of the Christians, his record says. Jesus was executed by the Romans. His execution occurred during the reign of Tiberius, and put it in a historical document. But every fact lined up directly with the Bible, and that was written about 116 AD, so 100 years after Jesus' birth. There's more people here. We got Pliny the Younger, not to be confused with Pliny the Older. Josephus, Greg talked on. And I think Ned Forster had something to say about it. Actually, no. He's not talking about it. But this is a powerful quote that I've read a while ago. H.G. Wells, many of you have heard this, says, "I am a historian, I'm not a believer, but I must confess as a historian that this penniless preacher from Nazareth is irrevocably the very center of history. Jesus Christ is easily the most dominant figure in all history." And that is not disputed. That is accepted. And in fact, if you look at today's date, our whole calendar is based on the birth of Jesus, and the whole world acknowledges 2,025 years ago is when this man was born. So, was Jesus a real person? Yes. Did Jesus say he was the only way? Yes, and we're going to look at some verses there. Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." John 14:6. John 10:9, "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find path." It says in Acts 4:12, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." There is no other name. And finally, 1 John 5:11-12, trying to get that reference on there. "And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life." So these verses and many others clearly show that Jesus claimed, one, to have a divine nature, two, to have a unique relationship with the Father, three, to be the only path to believe the same things from Jesus, reconciliation with God. His followers clearly heard and believed the same things from Jesus. And this is a message that continues today. So the question of whether or not Jesus said he was the only way, the answer is clearly yes. And the trickier one, right? How do we know that Jesus was telling the truth? So this is a little trickier. So I've got a few things, and there's many, many others, but his character and teachings. So this is a man who did not come across as a deceiver, but obviously there's the best deceivers are like that, right? They're sly and they're tricky, but scholars across the spectrum acknowledge the profound and challenging nature of his ethical framework, which emphasizes radical love, forgiveness, humility, and sincerity. So this is a guy who's teaching on love and forgiveness and humility. His teachings consistently condemned hypocrisy and deceit, for Jesus had to be, for him to have been a deliberate fraud, it's difficult to reconcile. So for him to say, you've got to love, you got to be truthful, and then, right? So in the second one, lack of ulterior motives. So another point of consideration is the lack of self-serving motives in Jesus's ministry. He didn't seek wealth, political power, or material comfort, right? Those are the things that you, as you see people rise up, as you see people look to get in power or even be deceitful, they're going for money, they're going for power, they're going for comfort. His message was not that, and his life was not that. In fact, he often spoke against the pursuit of these things, and his ministry ultimately led to a brutal and humiliating execution by the Roman authorities. This is not a path that a deceiver would take. Some who steps into this knows what's coming, and he says, well, I got to keep the lie going, so I'm going to keep it going to the end. That just doesn't make sense. But I think one of the most compelling, and the last one on this list, the transformation of his followers. So his closest followers, who were in the best position to know if he were a fraud, right? These were men who were with him day in and day out, thought it was over. Frightened and scattered group after his crucifixion, they thought it was over. Once Jesus was gone, they said, we've got nothing left if this wasn't true. And that's how they were going to live out their lives. And they transformed into bold proclaimers of his resurrections, of his resurrection, willing to endure persecution and martyrdom. While people will die for a belief they hold to be true, it's highly improbable that so many would be willingly suffer and die for something they knew to be a lie. The disciples' unwavering conviction, even in the face of death, suggests they genuinely believed in the truth of Jesus' claims. I think that's powerful. And you know, as Greg said yesterday, the point of death, or the point of, hey, we're going to end this for you if you don't fess up, was there a wire between the boats? Did Jesus really not sin? Like, you guys can't think of anything that he did that he sinned that we could hold against. We'll let you live if you tell us. To a man, own eyes. And I think that goes on into the future, who have been transformed by the power of God. And not in all cases, but was it a big change? Was it significant? Have you seen that? That's a powerful thing. I've seen it be real. And then think about your own life. If you've accepted Christ, have you seen God change you? Have you seen the Holy Spirit do things in your life? That's a real thing. Maybe not as tangible, but that is an incredibly powerful testimony that something 2,000 years ago that happened, if that was a lie, that would have died out pretty quick. But it continues to live on, and is consistent from generation to generation. So let's talk about the trilemma from C.S. Lewis, classic one. But based on everything that Jesus said, there's got to be only three options. Either this guy is a liar, either he's crazy, or he's the Lord, right? It doesn't fit up where you say, I'm the Lord, I never sin, but I'm also a liar. Or I'm right, and we covered why Jesus wasn't a liar. So imagine someone coming up on stage here, we'll just call him Ned Forrester, right, and saying, hey guys, I'm the Savior. I'm not Jesus, but I'm the new Savior. I've got this new word from God, and let me tell you why I'm going to be the Savior of the world for you all here. Well, we would quickly figure out that he was either lying or crazy, right? I kind of feel bad because I think Tyler's actually a strong believer and I keep giving him a hard time. But so what about Jesus, right? We talked about him, why he wasn't a liar, but a lunatic just doesn't make sense either. Over the years, some critics have tried to claim that Jesus was a psychopath. However, when judged within the context of the first century Jewish culture, his actions and teachings are seen as those of a radical, charismatic prophet, not a person suffering from delusions. His emotional responses, as depicted in the Gospels, including the face of death, just aren't in line with someone who would be a psychopath or a self-deceived lunatic, right? So that leads us to the conclusion, Jesus is Lord. So he was real. He said he was the only path to Jesus, and he has credibility. So we're going to hit a couple on two questions on other people. So a question that comes up a lot, and I'm sure often with your friends and in different social circles, why can't all religions be true? And there's a few reasons for this. I'm going to hit on a couple, but if all roads lead to God, then the Bible cannot be true, right? The Bible says God is the one and only God, and he is sovereign, he is supreme. So that almost kills the argument right there, right? If there are multiple gods or multiple ways to get to God, then we have to throw the Bible out completely. Another one that would be true, well, if all paths lead to God, if Christians can believe, hey, I need salvation in Jesus, but another religion says I just need to be good and do X, Y, and Z, and they all both, everyone ends up at the same place. His son to die on the cross be a death. God sending his son to die on the cross would have been cruel and unnecessary, right? If all you had to do was be a good person, why would you kill your own son and let him suffer like that? So there's a pulse. So if all leads road to God, the verses we just looked at of I'm the way, the truth, and the life, no one gets to the Father except through me, would be false and he would be a liar. And it really undermines the core of Christianity. So it can't work like that. Here's another example that I think helps us wrap our mind around it. Again, the question is like, well, that's fine, Christian. You believe your thing, and I'm going to believe mine. And if the morals kind of line up together, like we can get along, and what's the problem with that? Well, the problem here, if there's two gods out there, God number one says triangle plus donut equals three, and God number two says triangle. No, but what do you know about this? They can't both be right, right? So you can't have two gods that are in conflict with each other that are both saying, I am the ultimate supreme God. Oh, and that other guy is too, but he's got a different answer, right? So one of them has to be right, and that proves that the other one is not God. So I think that's critical. Just to understand this idea of pluralism and different religions and everything's okay. It's not. They don't line up, and Christianity doesn't line up. And we'll talk in a minute about why God is inclusive despite of that. But question number two, this is a deep one, and it's a great question, but what about those who haven't heard? So we do know God can reveal himself in many ways. We also know that God's desires that no one should perish. It says in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise to perish, but that all should reach repentance. And I'd love if we can go a little deeper into this question during our question and answer time. This is important to have faith in and have a peace about, but we do know God's heart, right? We know that he wants everyone to be saved, and he is able to reveal himself. So maybe more to come there, but I think what it boils down to right now here in this room, a couple things. One is, well, you ask the question, what about those who haven't heard? Well, whose job is it to tell them? It's ours, right? And obviously that question will still exist even if we tell a bunch of people, but I think that should be personally convicting because maybe God placed you in this time, in this place, with your friends because he says, I have a plan for that person to hear the gospel. I have a plan for that person to know Jesus Christ. And that plan is sitting here in the room right now. A sports team that's there. But in your life, I think what this matters right now is for you, have you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? So you have heard the gospel. You've either heard it here today for the first time, or you've heard it many times before. And I want everyone to be clear on the answer to this question with yourself. This is the most important question you can answer in your life. Salvation is a gift offered to everyone, including you. You know, some people say Christians are intolerant. Well, why did they say I have to believe what they believe? Well, no, you don't have to believe what we believe. You have to believe what God says is true. Christianity is actually the most inclusive religion out there. Salvation is a gift offered to every man and woman, including you. And while God does appreciate and value good morals and living a good life, he takes sin very seriously. And you were looking at a different religion or you didn't make up your mind, but you were running with the right people. No, a single sin is guilty of death and eternal death. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. In God's righteous justice, there must be punishment for sin. This is right and good. But in his merciful nature, God created a path to reconciliation. We're all guilty of sin and deserve the punishment. So there's two options that are out there. You can try to get there yourself. You can try and pay for your own sins. Or you can allow Jesus to pay the penalties or someone who doesn't have their own sins to pay for. And there's only one man who has done that, and that's Jesus Christ. Anyone can choose Jesus and choose salvation. Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. We close things out. Why is this important now? And we know there's a lot to learn and there's stuff that's deep and there's stuff that we're never gonna get. And I think every subject that we've covered and are going to cover are critically important for your faith and your journey. And if you don't get those down, it's gonna be really hard when the winds and the waves come to stay strong in your faith. But this one's a little different because this matters today. Understanding this, believing it, and making a choice to step from death into life, to put your trust in Jesus Christ is one that matters today. To share this picture with you guys. It's Camp Mystic. Many of you have heard about it in the news. This was a week ago today in Texas. There was a flash flood. There was a bunch of campers that were at a Bible camp, a Christian Bible camp. They went to bed on Friday night. Everything was normal. The floods hit 4 a.m. And many could not get out. Many did not survive. 27 confirmed dead. Campers, counselors, and camp director, ages 8 to 74. A bunch of little girls. Picture, this is Blair and Brooke, her sisters, ages 13 and 11. and they didn't make it. But that could be you, and I'm not trying to capitalize on tragedy and try and create this emotional thing. I'm getting emotional because I want each and every one of you that's sitting in this room to experience Jesus and to be up in heaven for eternity with me. And that's why it's important today, right now. We don't know if the floods are coming tonight. And as I looked up this picture, man, it broke my heart when I first saw it. These girls are so young. And what a scary, hard thing to go through. I can't imagine what their parents. It's a statue of Jesus holding a little baby in his hands, a little bit of peace. And then I came to realize, oh my goodness, if these girls have put their trust in Christ, they get to see more of a statue right now. They're standing in an incredibly better position than we are here in this broken, messed up world. They are with the real Jesus in his glory, where there's no more pain and no more tears. And that's a testament to who Jesus is and what he can do. And that's why I care about you and this decision. So to close out, you know, you may be hearing some of these things for the first time today. You may have been putting off this decision for a while. You may have thought you needed to know more first, but I want to give you an opportunity today to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I know there are people sitting in this room that haven't done that yet, and that God is pulling on your heart, and it matters. So I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to show up on the screen. But let's all bow our heads, and I'll pray. God, thank you again for meeting us here and for revealing yourself to us. Thank you for giving us a path to salvation and reconciliation through Jesus Christ. We want to know the truth. We want to know you. We want to share the good news with others. As we solidify this in our own lives, as we continue to search, we know you're going to be there. We know you're going to prove yourself true. We need help on this journey. And as the winds and the waves and the storms come, God, I pray we'd hold on to these truths. God, and I pray if anyone in this room today has not made that decision, that they would step into that here. And if you all would keep your heads bowed, but if you are sitting here and you want to make a decision to trust in Jesus today, I want you to look up, and we've got a prayer. I've got a prayer up here that you can pray in your own heart and step into a relationship. No one can come to the Father except through me. I just want you to look up and read along with me. Pray this in your heart. Jesus, I confess I have sinned. I believe you died on the cross for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to be Lord of my life. I trust you as my Lord and Savior, and I commit to follow you. Amen. And with your heads bowed, just I'll pray here again in a second. But if you made that decision this morning on 7/11/25, I would love to hear about that and know that. If you wouldn't mind telling me afterwards, but if you want to raise your hand right now and just so I can see who you are and I can meet you afterwards while everyone's heads are bowed. Amen. Amen. All right. Let's all pray one more time. God, thank you for this time. Thank you for revealing yourself and just the power Jesus had over the grave, over sin. God, I pray that anyone who is still struggling, still trying to understand their faith, God, you'd bring clarity even later today, God, or even in subsequent messages in your word. But you can do that. You will do that. We thank you for that. We just praise you. Look forward to what else you have for us this week. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.